We're continuing a study of parenting, and if you're going to talk about parenting, you have to at some point discuss discipline. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am not going to talk about the how-to of discipline. We could do that, but it probably would be best done in a different format. I will remind you that in November, we have a parenting seminar coming up, and that may be one of the topics that comes up. I don't know. A lot of what we're going to do is interact with the parents there. But I want to begin with a question, and I want to remind you, too, that although I'm really speaking to parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, adults, people who teach classrooms or meet with kids in any way, the kinds of topics I'll talk about apply to you just as well. So, the question, what is your goal or your purpose in discipline when it comes to your children? Let me put it another way. Are you trying to control and manage your daughter or son's behavior? Or are you trying to train your son or daughter towards mature adulthood? Think about your discipline for a moment. Which camp do you generally fall into? Are you trying to control or manage behavior? Are you trying to train towards mature adulthood? By the way, if your spouse is here, your significant other is here with you, that would be a good conversation to have. If you're from a blended family, how do you go about doing that? These two approaches are really quite different. In my read of Scripture, is that the Lord is far more interested in having parents and the adult figures in people's lives train them towards mature adulthood than simply controlling behavior. God's heart desire is that hearts are changed. And then from that change of heart comes a different behavior. But it's not simply about controlling behavior. Last week, we listened to the way the book of Proverbs opens. Let me repeat those words. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Why were the Proverbs written? Go to the next slide. Look at those words. For gaining wisdom and understanding, for instruction, insight, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence and knowledge and discretion. All of these are about training the young people, the next generation, and all of us to mature adulthood. And if we were to flip the page and go to Proverbs 2, Solomon underscores this purpose again. He says, as if he's speaking to his child, What does he desire from the child? He says, "My son, if you accept my words, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, if you will call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you will look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Solomon's purpose is to instill in the coming generation those qualities of life that lead to good and healthy living. Or as he says in chapter 1, verse 3, doing what is right and just and fair. And that's really the role of parenting, and discipline comes to play in that. So I believe that Scripture says that the best aim of discipline is to help our children know how to choose wisely, living a life ultimately that is right and just and fair. And this is so much more than behavior control. You can control behavior with a stick, but you can't train a heart that way. I was driving to worship, I think it was last weekend or the weekend before, and I always come overland, so I drive through Greenwich Sunday morning. It's actually a peaceful drive. And right about as I was coming across the post road, right about where Second Congregational Church is, I think it's Mason Street or whichever street it is that blends in there, a police car popped into line, pulled in right in front of me, and we were in a bunch of about four or five cars. What happened? All the red lights went on in the cars, and everyone started driving 30 miles an hour. You know, I mean, it just feels like you're stuck, you know, come on. And you know, we're driving down Christ Church, and then there's that long hill down to the high school, and cars are popping the red lights to make sure they stay at 30, and the police car just stayed in the right lane. And then all of a sudden, it's almost as if the guy who was driving said, "I'm tired of this," and he whips into the left lane, and he starts driving off. No lights. It wasn't an emergency. He just was like, okay, I want to get to where I'm going, you know? And so he starts driving, and he probably pops it up to about 40. And, you know, what's everyone else do? Well, they start driving just behind him. And then somewhere around Stanwich Road, or maybe it was in Costco by the firehouse, he turns off, and what happens? Vroom! Everyone goes back to their speed, you know? If you ever experience that, come on, we all have. Have a laugh. We know what it's like. You've been on the highway, and you're driving along the highway, and all of a sudden you see that car sitting over there. Everyone's driving like, yeah. You know, we're all like driving Miss Daisy. And we get past, and, you know. But see, that's what controlling behavior is like. If you want to control behavior, you can control behavior of someone as long as they're in your sight, as long as they're in your presence, as long as they have a sense that if they step out of that behavior mode, they're going to get it. But once they are free, once that is lifted from their shoulders, they go back to the exact same behavior. And so if as parents, we're going to try to control behavior by our discipline, we'll succeed, probably, in the short term. But in all likelihood, we will not have trained our children towards mature adulthood. And the blotter of the newspaper is filled with people who have stepped out from under that kind of control and lost control. I think God is saying to us, That there's something higher and more important than simply controlling behavior when we think about our discipline. And that the best aim is helping our children know how to choose wisely and ultimately live a life that's right and just and fair. And obviously how we do that will change whether they're a toddler or a preteen or a teen. What's your goal? I think the purpose of discipline is maturity for the young ones. Let me share two more proverbs. There's a number of proverbs about discipline, and I chose these two, as you'll see, on purpose. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. And by the way, this proverb is quoted again by the writer to Hebrews in chapter 12 when he has a longer discussion about discipline, God's discipline. And then Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. From God's perspective, discipline is an outgrowth of love. Love is why the Lord disciplines us. Love is why a parent disciplines their children, at least in the perfect world. Now, it's true, not every time discipline is mentioned in Proverbs. Is it connected to the word love? But I feel from my study of Scripture that these verses provide the overall arc of discipline in the whole of Scripture. In the whole of Scripture, God disciplines always from a posture of love. He wants the best for His children. And when we get out of line, He does have to correct. And when youngsters get out of line, there does need to be correction. But what's the soil from which that correction comes? Does it come from our need to have our kids look perfect in the world? Or because we know that real love will step in certain circumstances? Love seeks the best for the other person. Love. True love. The kind of love that God displays in Scripture and teaches about in Scripture is the kind of love that should drive us when a need for discipline arises. That kind of love is not easy. It's never out of control or demeaning. So let me step back from the specifics of discipline for a moment and ask a question. Dear children, dear grandchildren, do they know you love them? Do you love them with the kind of love that Jesus loves? The kind of love that would take their place if something horrible happened, if you could? I think we all remember Paul's words about love. He says love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Paul goes on to say, love never fails. The one who loves. So before you think about the discipline you provide your kids, ask yourself, do you always protect them? Do you trust them? Do you have hope for them? Will you persevere for them when they're giving you a hard time? Think of how many times God has withheld just punishment from us. Might that be what's needed in a particular situation? Now, as we think about this idea as the first word of discipline is love, I want to take us to two New Testament passages. They're the only two that speak about directly about parenting. And dads, they are directed at us. There is some contextual evidence that could say that the word fathers, especially in the Colossians text, could mean fathers and mothers. So it could be parents. But we have to remember the context into which Paul was writing. He was writing into a Roman context in Ephesus and in Colossae. And in the Roman law, dads had all the rights. And I mean all. Listen to this. As a father, you could sell your child into slavery. You could make him work like a laborer, you know, an unskilled, unpaid laborer on your farm. You could even condemn your child to death and then execute that death. And there were no punishments. I mean, it was absolute control. We have nothing in our thinking that goes with that. But that was the culture that Paul's writing to. Now I want you to hear what Paul says to fathers who have absolute control. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then in Colossians, it's kind of a partner book. He says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Those are absolutely revolutionary words for their time. Those are unheard of comments in the Roman world. God is so far ahead of where the culture was that we can't even quite understand the gap between where the culture was and what God was saying. And I put it under this topic, the first word of discipline is love. And I do think it's good to have fathers in there. Now, we're not the only ones who can do that. Moms, grandmoms, granddads, you can do this too. But for many of us who are dads, we leave the house early in the morning, the kids may not even be up. We work all day, we come home, we're kind of tired. The stress of life is on our shoulders. We come in the door. And if the first thing out of our mouths, out of our behavior with our kids is kind of that stern look, how easy it is for us to exasperate them. Or to embitter them. And both of those words, they infer a length of time. Okay? You don't typically exasperate someone in one word. You know, it's something that has accumulated over time. You don't typically embitter somebody by one bad evening. You know, you come home and you have one, you just lose it night. You know, normally doesn't embitter a heart. But if that's the pattern, then hearts get embittered. Then children get exasperated. Now, can you sense the revolutionary power of these words? Understanding and living God's sense of love first before we apply discipline is huge. So the two things for all, especially the parents, guardians, grandparents, what's your purpose in the discipline? Does it have a long-term goal where you're working towards the maturity of those children when they're adults? Or is it only immediate? If it's only immediate, it's typically behavior control. And I get that, especially with our young ones, there can be times when that's essential. You know, I mean, handling a meltdown in the middle of the mall, But I still think these principles apply. And then is the discipline growing out of that kind of love that we see God has extended to us? Let me wrap up with three practical comments. First, before you actually institute your discipline, take a deep breath. And I literally mean that. Take a deep breath. Think about the situations of discipline. Normally, something's happened. There's a behavior that's going on, and you know it's not right. But besides that, what's happening inside of you? I mean, maybe I'm the only person in the world this happens to, but I would be getting agitated. It's like, that's not the behavior I want. You know, so I could feel the muscles tensing in my own body. You know, maybe it's that toddler throwing a tantrum. And I'm becoming a little embarrassed. Or I'm becoming angry. Or maybe it's been a long week and I'm already tired, and you know, I don't fire on all cylinders when I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I can't get them under control. What's happening in me? Maybe it's that middle schooler who's supposed to do something and you've told them now three times. And it's like they have somehow become deaf. You know, they like I'm talking to the wall, you know, nothing's happening. Again, what's happening inside of me is I'm getting frustrated with my son or daughter. Maybe it's your teen. And you've set a clear guideline of curfew, and they're coming home late. And all you're thinking about is those places they probably were that they shouldn't have been. Or the trouble they could have gotten into. The point is, usually we discipline when we have a sense of agitation because of the behavior that is being lived out by the kids right in front of us. So what's the temptation is to discipline from our own internal frustrations and anger and all of that. And that's why I say, take a deep breath. And I literally mean that. There's something called tactical breathing. It's taught in the military. It was developed by a military officer. If you don't like the military term, it's often called 4x4 breathing. And it's really simple. You breathe in through your nose to a count of four. A slow count. Not one, two, three, four. You hold your breath for a count of four. You exhale through your mouth to a count of four. And then some will add, you then hold your breath or wait to breathe in again for another count of four. So between 12 and 16 seconds is what this takes. And by doing it once, you will lower your blood pressure and reduce your heart rate. And in the military, they teach them really to do it about three times in succession. And there will be a noticeable calming of the body. It's actually a physiological response that happens in the human body when you do this, that brings your body back into control. So in less than a minute, if you were to do it three times, you will have regained a significant measure of control, and you can do it anonymously. You know, you don't have to broadcast to your kids, okay? Uh-oh, here it comes. By the way, it works for any stressful situation. It is one of the simplest and best stress reducers, period. And again, it's a physiological human response. Breathe in. Let your stomach expand to a count of four through your nose. And feel the calm return. Practically speaking, parents, if you will take those 12 seconds before you open your mouth, before you do what it is you want to do, it'll help bring you into control and alignment so that you can think. And my second point is, while you're doing that, think about your reason for discipline. Remind yourself, what's the end game? It's not simply to control the behavior in that moment, but it's to help your son or daughter grow towards maturity. If you do it twice, then the number three thing is, you can remember that love is your first rule in discipline. God has placed into our care those of us who are parents, grandparents, children. God knows best. I mean, it's like, whoa, it's a huge responsibility. And we're going to have to discipline at some point. To do it well, to do it wisely, to do it in a way that honors Jesus is a huge task, but it can be done. We sang the lyrics of a song, and it says, as long as we share the heartbeat of Jesus, we will stay true to you. When I heard those songs and I knew what I was going to speak about, I thought, as long as we share the heartbeat of Jesus, our discipline will be faithful and true. Let's pray. God, I pray for every primary caregiver of children in this space, in our church family, in our circle of friends. I pray for these caregivers that first of all, you would let them know that they are loved and that you believe in them. And I pray too, Lord, that we as primary caregivers would surrender ourselves to you, who loves us. And I pray, Lord, that as we parent our children, we would seek to raise them to be mature adults who do what's just and right and wise and true. Grace us, Lord, with the blessing of Your Spirit within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.